We're speaking now with Scott Herndon. He is the newly elected state senator for District 1. Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, Chris.
Well, you're new to the legislature this year. I guess the first question I'd ask is, how do you prepare for that?
Well, I've had the advantage of, over the last several years, actually running legislation, so I'm very familiar with the legislative process. On December 1st, we were sworn in, took the oath of office, and in the 3 days before that, we had an orientation session where we learned all the ins and outs of the actual mechanics of using the legislative services offices for a number of services that they provide legislators: research, policy analysis, and actual bill writing. So it was nice to get that background and also learn how to use their systems that are available down at the State House. So I've done that, and then a lot of it has just been getting familiar with the new legislators that are coming in. I've spent a lot of time over the last several months with new legislators and with some of the incumbents, getting to know them.
The freshman class, you could say, yeah?
Yeah, that's it, and some of the incumbents as well. And basically, we're getting to know each other so that we can learn to understand where each of us are coming from and also understand what policy ideas we care about and actually begin to coordinate on different policy ideas. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that behind the scenes. Mm-hmm.
So just an observation, I've been down to Boise, I've been in the Capitol building and in I think both chambers. It's kind of awesome, is it? Mm-hmm. Did you find it that way, the whole seat of a government?
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. I'm not super impressed, like overawed by the position in the sense that we are citizens' legislature, and I don't think we ought to think too highly of ourselves. The actual building and everything about the position, like a lot of people will just call you senator down there. And I really would just prefer they call me Scott, because we're just regular people there to make policy. And I think that I like it, because that's really the design of the system, is that we decided in Idaho, in the citizens legislature, that we didn't want people who just did this full time. We didn't want people who were just experts in these fields to dictate the policy. We want regular people from all walks of life making policy, and that's what we're going to be down there to do.
I think by design, the Constitution kind of lays that out with a session that only goes for a few months of the year.
Exactly.
So do you know what committees you're assigned to? And, you know, how do you feel about those? Did you get good assignments?
Yes, I got on the Senate Education Committee and also the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, which every time you read an article in the paper or the Statesman, it's always the powerful budget setting committee is, I think, how they typically describe it. And powerful in the sense that
JFAC specifically. Yeah.
JFAC. Mm-hmm. And we appropriate the $13 billion budget of the state of Idaho, and it all starts at JFAC, and then 20 members, 10 from the House and 10 from the Senate. And the thing is since we do a lot of work in that committee, then the members and the bodies really trust us and rely on the information we provide them when we give the go-ahead on budgets. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and I think a lot of folks don't even realize that a lot of the work in the legislature is done in those committees. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you lobby for those, or were there other committees that you wanted to get on more?
So in the Senate, there's 10 committees and 35 members, and you figure you're going to be, and there's 9 members on a committee, bottom line. And if you're on JFAC, you could be on a third committee. So no senators on more than 3 committees. But if you're on JFAC, that's enough of a job that you might only want to be on 2 committees. Mm-hmm. But then by the time, based on your seniority, and I'm a freshman and more than half of the Senate is freshmen, so then we had to pull from a jar basically our names to determine seniority. And you go in based on seniority, and there was a couple of committees still open when I came back in for a third possible committee. But then if those committees have conflicts on time, JFAC meets every single day in the morning, and Education meets 4 days a week in the afternoon at 3 p.m., and I think the only other committee that was still open met at one of those times, so you can't be on both in that case.
Mm. Did you get a good number out of the jar?
I was actually right in the middle. I think there were 11 freshmen with no seniority, and I was number 5 out of 11, so it was in the middle of the pack. Mm.
Hey, seniority system, you want every advantage you can get there.
Pretty much.
Okay, so what are some of the big issues you anticipate the legislature to take up this year? And are there some specific issues or pieces of legislation that you want to advance yourself?
Yeah, there are two major issues I'm expecting to see a lot of work on this year. One, probably hear the most about from voters, and that is property taxes. And what can we do about them? And the first thing I want to say about it is we have to first understand that property taxes are entirely local. The money never goes to the state. The money is paid by us directly to our treasurer here locally and gets distributed to all of the taxing districts. The amount, we're different than California. A lot of people have said, hey, why don't we do something like Prop 13 from the 1970s in California, Citizens Initiative. And California is a totally different properties tax system. It's designed around the levy rate or the tax rate. And Idaho is a different system. It's designed around the actual budget of these taxing districts. So however much money they want to spend, they determine that amount, and then they figure out what the levy rate's going to be on their taxable base. And so we can't really compare the two systems, but there are ways. The people that are complaining the most right now are the primary homeowners. And that's because primary homeowners, residential real estate has gone up in value significantly more than commercial, industrial real estate or agricultural. And so the primary homeowners have been carrying a larger piece of the burden to pay property taxes as the years have gone by, and especially in this last year when a lot of people saw their appraisals go up 50%, like I saw mine go up 50%. And we want to shift that back a little bit. So two major policy proposals, there are actually three that I like. Two I'm going to co-sponsor. One will raise the homeowner's exemption to about $224,000 from the current $125,000. But I want to emphasize again, that's a tax shift. It's not a tax cut. And when some people pay less, other people are going to pay more. And it all goes back to what do we want our local government to do for us. And if we want them to do something for us, we are going to have to pay for it. And the current system right now pays for it through property taxes. But the homeowner's exemption will go way up. And then it will provide relief for primary homeowners, and then it will be indexed. So as prices change over the years, we don't have to continue to go back and change that code. It will be attached to the National Housing Price Index for Idaho. So it will be flexible.
So you're saying the index would be off of the national housing price.
Yeah, and it would be a minimum.
And not on like an increase in assessments value or those sorts of things.
Yeah, so if valuations go up, right, assessments, then, and so the housing price index would go up in that case, then that homeowner's exemption would also go up automatically if we pass this bill that I'm planning to co-sponsor. Another bill that I'm planning to co-sponsor will actually take 10% of Idaho sales taxes, which are revenues right now of about $2.6 billion. And right now we're basically overtaxing people. So all that money goes to the general fund. We have a $1.5 billion budget surplus. We've given income tax relief in the previous 2 years. And this year we want to give some property tax relief by taking some of our sales tax revenue and basically paying your part of your property tax bill. So what's going to happen is the bill would take money from sales taxes from the general fund, pay your county directly, you would receive your property tax bill, and you would see a credit for that payment portion of it that got paid by the state through sales tax revenues. And so that's a bill that
Does it work that way right now, though?
It doesn't work that way at all. Right. No money at all comes from the state to pay property taxes. So in essence, what you're going to see, you'll see state revenues.
I guess I was referring to sales tax money coming back to the venue where it was collected. For instance, Ponderay collects a lot of sales tax, and they get very little of it back.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's different. So that's basically a totally different mechanism. So this is designed specifically to essentially subsidize your property tax bill for only primary homeowners. That actually represents a tax cut, though, because if you look at your total tax burden in the state of Idaho, it's income taxes, sales taxes, property taxes. And so in your total pie, if you're getting some of that back and we have a budget surplus, that's like you're getting money that you paid in back and it's coming out of surplus, so we're not having to raise revenues through another means or cut expenses anywhere else. So that actually represents a real tax reduction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
it's only one issue.
We weren't going to run out of time before we.
Let's hit one real quick. Education.
Okay.
We're expecting to see a major bill that would change the formula for funding schools. And I've talked to all three school districts up here. They want to see an enrollment-based school funding formula. Right now, if I tried to explain the school funding formula to you, it'd take 2 weeks, and we probably both wouldn't still completely understand it. It's been a kludge put together over many years. This I could explain to you in 20 minutes, and it will actually result in more money per student enrolled up here for all three of our school districts, West Bonner, Lake Ponderay, and Boundary County. And so I really like the bill. It's also going to offer more flexibility, more competition in education. The school districts are going to like it because they're getting more money, and they're also getting money based on enrolled students, not average daily attendance, so that they don't have to sit there and feel at odds with parents who are continuing to maybe use more flexibility after COVID and keep their kids out of school, which harms school budgets right now. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be kind of an exciting debate, I think, as we go into this session.
Yeah, education always is. Well, let's get on to another question here. We want to make sure I get this one in. How do you expect to communicate with your constituents during the session? How shall they get in touch with you if they have a need they want to contact you about?
Yeah, so first, I will be very active on social media and an email newsletter. And the best way to sign up for my email newsletter is actually on my campaign website, HerndonForIdaho.com, and that's FORIdaho.com. You go to the homepage, 7 seconds after you're there, a pop-up box allows you to just enter your name and email address that will automatically add you to my email list. The other way is you can go to the Senate's website at the legislature's website. You can go to the Senate members, look me up there, and you can click a sign up there, but I have to add you manually. That doesn't do anything automatically.
So faster to go to
my campaign
again,
website.
Again, Herndon for...
Yeah, HerndonForIdaho.com.
Okay, right.
On the homepage, just wait 7 seconds. The pop-up box to sign up will be there.
Okay.
Then my cell phone, 208-610-2680. I definitely want to hear from people that live in the district. And my email address is sherndon@senate.idaho.gov. And especially if you say you live in the district, I will call you or contact you back. So I am planning to respond to every single person who wants to hear from me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, and they can definitely see me active there. I'll be putting out a lot of short videos on social media that explaining what's going on in the legislature.
Okay, that sounds great. So you were in a hotly contested race in the Republican primary in which you defeated the incumbent, Jim Woodward. And I think it's fair to say that it raised a lot of acrimony. It's not unusual, actually, in our political sphere across the board. Mm-hmm. And then in the general election, you faced a write-in challenge from Steve Johnson. Looking back at the election season, is there anything you would have done differently or would have liked your opponents to have done differently?
The primary, I'll talk about that one in particular. You saw a lot of competitive primaries in Idaho this year. 24% of seats turned over. Incumbents lost in Idaho in the primary, which exceeded the national average. The national average was under 5%. So Idaho had a major changeover. And the only thing we did in the primary was compared and contrasted the incumbents' positions versus where I would stand on the same issues. I really like educating voters. That's what voters want to know. That's what voters told me they love to see. They wanted to see what the difference in the candidates is. So I totally approve of that. Going into the general election, and running against a write-in, I didn't actually spend as much energy on that campaign going after the differences. The other side did, but frankly, the other side said a lot of things that were not my positions, but people are going to find that out over the next 2 years because I'm going to develop a legislative record, and they'll see that some of the things they feared were absolutely not true. And, you know, some people are going to disagree with me. That's just the nature of politics, right? I represent 53,000 people in the district. There were 22,000 active voters for my election in the general election. There were 13,800 in the primary. And not everybody's going to agree with me on everything. But one thing they'll find out from me is that I'll always explain my position if they call and ask me, some people on Twitter, they'll expect that I got to answer every question on Twitter. I don't necessarily do it there, but if they want to call me, I'll answer any question they have, and I'll at least take the time to explain why I hold the position that I hold and exactly what my position is. I loved it when voters actually called me and said, hey, do you really want to do X, Y, or Z? And then I could either correct misinformation or explain why that was my position.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think in the primary election, there was so much stuff that came in the mailbox. Uh-huh. And I know it all wasn't all from your campaigns. Some of it was from political action groups.
Yeah.
But the charges there were that you were misrepresenting or the pieces that were being received were misrepresenting your opponents. Any last word on that?
I'll give you a great example. We said that Jim Woodward, the incumbent, voted to allow boys and girls sports, and he did. And so we were very careful to look at his voting record. It's very clear. You can always go to the legislature's website. And if the vote was the way it was, and he never denied that, and pretty much everything we said, driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, actually did happen. And the dairy industry in southern Idaho says they're going to run that bill this year. They want driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. And I don't think they're going to get it through the Senate this year, nor the House.
Okay, well, you kind of answered my next to last question, is how do you go about representing those with different differences? You're inviting everybody to give you a call as a representative there in the Senate.
And I would say, here's the thing, if there's a constitutional right that we possess, then whether you're a Democrat or a Constitution Party, Libertarian, unaffiliated, or Republican, I am definitely going to represent your rights. So you're going to find, I'm going to end up sponsoring or co-sponsoring probably 15 plus bills this year. And I bet you every single political stripe is going to find something to like about one of the bills that I'm sponsoring. And definitely, the other thing I can do for you, no matter what your political stripe is, if you need help with one of the Idaho agencies, like there's a group here that needs help with one of our Idaho agencies right now, I am going to help make sure that they get their questions answered. And if they're trying to solve a problem, I'm going to help get that problem solved. So that's
legislators have some power to make things happen. In
you can call department directors and they'll take your call for one thing. Yeah. So.
Well, Scott Herndon, our new state senator for District 1, thank you for taking time to talk with us, and good luck down there.
You're welcome, Chris. Thanks for having me.